So, it's come to this. A young woman thought to herself, staring through the barred windows of a police car. Kelsa never claimed to be the best kid. She never cared for good grades or a future in the world. She didn't even care about Robert, her supposed boyfriend, tagging about. But not caring wasn't the reason she killed that bitch and Jim. Not caring wasn't the reason the new girl ate alone in the bathroom every day, or took advantage of Robert testing the 32 snub nose stolen from her uncle. It was blood. Oh, how she savored the crimson scarlet and the look of betrayal and raw emotion at that moment when life passed out of them. They found his body the next day behind the bleachers, his blood mixing into dust, discarded cups, and the half-eaten foodstuffs from the game the night before. Sirens blazed. Seems the ambulance finally made it. Kelsa chuckled to herself. Not that they were anything but an expensive corpse transport at this point. "Keep your mouth shut, you rotten fuck!" A mustached man sitting in the front of the car turned and pointed a finger at her. "I don't think you understand the severity of your actions." With that, he started the engine and began backing up to turn out of the school lot. Half of the school gathered outside to see her whisked away in this red and blue chariot. The lights danced off of the white snow that blanketed most of the ground. She was surprised they hadn't run like cowards they were when she had begun shooting. She laughed at the thought of them slipping on the ice on the way out. A frown crossed her face. Maybe this was some kind of message that they weren't afraid. She hated the idea of that. If she found her way back, she'd make it a point to level this entire place with a minute for it. She felt extra special after noticing they were escorted by several more squad cars. "All of this for little old me?" A smirk crossed her face. The officer didn't even entertain the remark. "You have a kid, officer?" No response. "They're all a real rotten bunch, don't you think?" "I heard the name Dablowski, right?" The officer quickly reached for the dial on the radio and cranked it to the max in an attempt to drown her out. "Cindy Lauper's girls just want to have fun," blared, but quickly was interrupted by a special announcement by the local news station.
"Westfield breaking news. Student opened fires at Westfield High School. The sole suspect has been taken into police custody. The names of the victims will be released at a later point."
The voice changed to that of a woman. "My son was in there." Kelsa chuckled to herself at the sound of her cracking voice. They hadn't gone much further than the police comm had gone off.
"I'm sorry, Dan."
Was heard on the channel, and the car quickly veered off to the side of the fairly empty road. Officer Dablowski quickly jumped from his seat and wrenched open the back door. He reached in and yanked her out into the snow. "I knew in my heart that she was dead. I just knew it." The officer grasped a pistol by his side and carefully aimed it at her head. As their eyes locked, another officer tackled Dablowski to the ground, and a few stray shots were fired. Another officer quickly picked Kelsa up and led her to another squad car while two of the others pulled up and quickly began joining the scuffle. She managed to catch a bit of the spectacle, but by the time she left, that sweet crimson stuff had sponged into the virgin snow. An hour later, they were at the station, where she was led to an empty cell and locked away from the rest of the world. The next day, while enjoying her makeshift lunch of an expired turkey on rye, she had a visitor, a fat man in an overcoat. He looked her up and down, pulled out a notepad, and scribbled some notes. Without a word, he turned and walked out of the area. It wasn't long before another officer, fairly elderly-looking, came through. "Time for processing, miss." A faint smile crossed his face. She could easily overpower this old man and make a run for it if she wanted. He definitely looked the sort that didn't seem to know when to retire. His hands shook as he removed the key ring and placed it into the lock. "If you'd follow me..." Another man had entered at this point. "Guess that outs that plan," she said under her breath. They walked over to a large brown desk littered in papers and at least 2 days' worth of fast food wrappers. A woman with a dirty blonde bowl cut sat behind the desk. Her round, spectacled face looked up. The corners of her lips quickly furrowed as she looked at Kelsa. "Have a seat." With that, Kelsa walked over to the fold-out chair positioned in front of the desk. The older gentleman stood behind her as she lowered herself. The office clearly had all eyes on her. She could feel them burrowing into the back of her head, whispers dancing through the air. She loved it. The idea that she could be the center of attention for once in her life. The woman rifled through the door and produced a small ink pad and index card neatly separated into squares. Each was labeled for her respective finger, and Kelsa was asked to dip her fingers onto the ink pad one by one, press her fingers together, and finally, seal each with her unique handprint. A small alcohol pad was given to her to clean up her hands, and she was led away to the cell again. Excruciating hours of boredom passed, and just as she was getting ready to lay down, she heard a rapping against the cell bars. Looking over her shoulder, she saw the old man dragging his extendable baton against them, back and forth. "Just you and me tonight, miss. Gotta say, you landed yourself in some deep shit. Ain't gonna be too many men where you're going, so how about we help each other out?" As he was saying this, it was clear that he was growing aroused. "This is my chance." A smirk crossed her face as she played the scene out in her head. "I wouldn't want anyone walking in on us. Are you sure no one will hear us?" He quickly produced the key ring and opened the cell, turned and locked it back through the bars. "Nope, we can have as much fun as you want tonight." At this point, he was starting to undo his belt, which he tossed to the ground while stepping forward. Kelsa went to her knees slowly, and then suddenly reared an arm back and slammed him in the groin. He doubled forward, but not before grabbing her hair. "You bitch!" he yelled. Kelsa, struggling to break his grip, reached as hard as she could for the belt he had thrown, but caught a fist into the side of her face. He had some snap, despite his age. She lunged forward in an attempt to headbutt the man in the face, but ended up catching his chest, and he quickly punished her by driving a knee into her perfectly positioned face. In a last desperate effort, she blindly swung and managed to catch his throat, loosening his grip on her hair. She sprung towards the belt on the ground and noticed the pistol holster was empty and grabbed for a small knife that hung off to the side instead. He had gotten hold of her shirt by this point and was pulling her back along with the belt in tow. The damn thing was stuck. A fist hit the back of her head and everything felt blurry again. She yanked, and it came free, but not before the second part of a combination caught the side of her face and sent her reeling. By the time she looked back up, he had reached for the baton and whipped it to its full length. He started dashing towards her and swung the baton hard at her shoulder. Knowing her situation as dire, she endured the rush and met him mid-blow with the knife into his gut, pulling hard to the opposite direction of the baton. Her clavicle had been shattered, and the pain had been immense, but she had dealt a fatal blow to the officer, who quickly collapsed his guts, which had begun to emerge as he fell to his knees. Wasting no time, she quickly lunged at him again and drove the blade into his face. It perforated his cheek, and he moaned in agony as the blade was pulled out and repeatedly slammed into him again and again. Kelsa made it as far as the door before everything grew black. When she next awoke, she was in some kind of hospital room lacking windows, and she quickly realized that her wrist was chained to the bed. A young woman entered not long after. "Finally awake, are we? Welcome to the Pentium Supermax prison. Usually guests don't arrive in the medical unit after the first week, but you are quite the killer for your age. Do me a favor, try not to see me too often." With that, she left the room, and Kelsa quickly found the back of her eyelids again. A bell went off, and the same woman was standing next to her. "Time to eat," she said, pulling a plastic-wrapped tray off a cart and placing it in front of her. A small set of plastic utensils was placed next to her and a small bottle of water. "We inventory the trash here, so I wouldn't recommend getting any ideas, unless you want to end up in the bread box." The only thing Kelsa could think about was the pain surging through her shoulder and the train wreck of a headache she had. The bread roll and slop they fed her didn't stand a chance as she greedily tore into it. A few days passed like that until a muscular, dark-skinned doctor had passed through and checked her over under the nurse's supervision. He gave her the all-clear, and she was transferred out the following morning. It wasn't long before she was led out of that infirmary and into her new home. A hulking woman and a scraggly young man walked beside her, and as they walked through many corridors, each bustling with cells, and many people jeering at them, all manner of things could be heard. One in particular caught her attention, though, as an inmate complimented her sweet ass. Kelsa couldn't help but think of the stories she had heard about prison and its many workings and machinations. They finally stopped in front of a small cubicle, the door made of some kind of plexiglass fixed in place with some kind of electronic locking system. The room was not bigger than a large walk-in closet, and the addition of a toilet and bed made it extremely tight quarters. "Naturally, you'll be staying in the isolated cells, given your record." She started to notice a bit of anxiety tracing her voice. What about my trial?" The guards coughed. "Trial? With the blood trail you left, there isn't need for one. You're as guilty as they come, especially after killing that officer." And with that, the large woman shoved her through the door and violently closed it behind her without another glance. On the bed was a second set of bright orange prison uniform. The back of it read, Pentium, and had the numbers 120075. She left it folded and pushed it up to use as a pillow on the bed platform. It was much too stiff to be anything but uncomfortable, in her opinion. After a short rest, a tap found the glass, and an officer was pointing to two handprints on the wall directly by the door. She understood enough, and walked over and placed her hands on the prints. The officers proceeded inside and did a quick pat-down, and then had her follow. A small group of women were just outside the door as well, and they picked up a few more along the way. "I'm sure you ladies noticed. We have some new blood today. Be sure to play nice," she said sarcastically. Their destination brought them to a cafeteria area where six guards stood on either side of the room at all times. They were placed in a line and given the same plastic tray she had at the infirmary. A filthy-looking man behind the small bar asked which entree she'd like. Looking down, Kelsa saw some kind of slop bubbling slowly, and what looked like a pile of some kind of conglomeration of meat. "Hurry up," one of the guards said to the side, and she decided to go with the slop. Along the way, she collected a bread roll and a bottle of water, and found her way to the tables provided. It was very disciplined how the prison performed here. Chatter was almost prohibitive, and they were watched from all angles. Kelsa looked down at her food. The slop that filled the first three slots of the tray looked abhorrent. She would swear she saw a fisheye floating in one part. As she looked away in disgust, she noticed a hand receding with her bread roll. A large woman with her suit arms torn looked back at her and winked. "We'll be having none of that," an officer shouted, walking over to the table. He grabbed the large woman's wrist as if to force it back, but then realized whose food was taken. "Never mind. Enjoy," he said, letting go of the large woman's hand and glaring at Kelsa. "Cop killers don't get protection around here, girl." He spat at the ground and turned, his arms flared out to his side. "Are you going to eat that?" an attractive woman said next to her. Kelsa grimaced at her remaining food. "No, I don't have much of an appetite." The young woman quickly took the tray and slid hers over in its place and greedily guzzled down the food. "Man, this stuff is yummy," she said. Kelsa couldn't believe it. How long must she have been here to enjoy something like that? "So maybe you could fill me in exchange for the food," Kelsa said. The woman looked over, her short brown hair frazzled, hiding a mass of freckles. "I'd love to, but..." "But what?" Kelsa said in disbelief. "But I've only been here 2 days," she said, followed by a cutesy little giggle.
2 days? Kelsa couldn't help but blurt out. "Hurry up and eat, ladies," one of the guards shouted.
"Don't we get a recess?" And as the cutesy one said that, many of the women at the table began to giggle and laugh.
"Are you serious, miss? You do know you're in the worst part of the Pentium Supermac prison, right?"
With that, the girl puffed out her cheeks and looked down at her empty tray. Kelsa thought about the guard's words and looked at the other woman at the table. At a glance, most of them looked fairly normal, but there were definitely a few that stood out as tough. One in particular had many scars running down most of her face and a small eye patch over the left eye. Her sleeves were torn like the other large women, but it was clear that she worked out extensively. A lanky-looking woman with sickly pale skin looked over. "What are you in for, killing cops, then?" A small smile crossed her lips as she anticipated the reply. Kelsa couldn't help but stare at the small tattoo under her left eye. It looked like some kind of occult sigil. "I killed a couple of people at my school."
"Ah, I thought you looked fairly young. How about joining the Circle of Balin?"
"Shut up, Esther, with all that religious nonsense," the large woman that had taken her bread roll spoke. Esther sneered at the woman and made a few intricate gestures with her hand. "A hex will do nicely for you, Talia."
Not long after, a small bell sounded and they were all told to line up. They did so and were led through a door at the back of the cafeteria.
"Where are we headed?" Talia said.
The guard turned and quickly told her to shut it, and they continued along. Wherever they were going, Kelsa figured it wasn't part of the normal routine. They ended up just outside the infirmary where one by one they were being led through. Finally, her turn had come. Three people stood by a single chair in the middle of the infirmary. The fat man with the trench coat from the station before, a doctor, and the nurse.
She couldn't help but wonder if he was here in regard to that dead cop she killed after he tried taking advantage of her. "Have a seat," the nurse said with an annoyed tone. Kelsa complied and sat in the chair. The nurse wasted little time producing a syringe gun and injecting her in the arm. "What the hell? You can't just inject shit into people." She was absolutely irate at what had just happened. "Prisoners don't get a choice about medications administered, especially not the ones from your block," the nurse said in a condescending kind of way. The fat man pulled out that same notebook and began scribbling notes again. "All right, bring the next," the nurse said, and with that the guard escorted her into a large white room filled with folding chairs. All of the prisoners before her were already seated, and she was led to a seat of her own. The freckled girl from before was just after her, and was holding her arm when she walked in. "Owie, that wasn't very nice of them." She sat in the chair next to Kelsa. "Any idea what they injected us with?" Kelsa asked. She turned towards her. "I'm not sure, but I'm sure we'll find out real soon." With that, a big smile crossed her face. "I'm Lizzie, by the way. You can call me Liz if you want." The room almost seemed to brighten the way she said it. "I'm Kelsa. Nice to meet you." After a bit of idle chatter and a good hour later, other prisoners started to show up. "Guess we aren't the only ones," Liz said as many of the others started to be led through. None of them looked familiar from the table she had eaten at. "They're from different blocks. For lesser crimes than people like us." Liz's face lit up. "At least now we know whatever they injected wasn't meant to kill us." She hadn't even considered the thought of something like that. What if they meant to drug her, rob her of her free will, maybe put her body to use in some kind of nefarious sex scheme? Not too long after, a man in an expensive suit walked in. His boots were made of some kind of reptile skin. It was clear that this man was money. "Some of y'all may know me, but for those who don't, I'm your warden." He adjusted his tie a bit, and the fat man in the overcoat walked beside him. "I'm sure each and every one of you are wondering, what in the heck did they shoot into my arm? Well, I'm here to tell you all about it." He walked to the side of the room, and the lights dimmed, a projector turned on. An image of the United Federation's logo embellished the screen, each of the five federations bearing its own mark, all unified under an image of the sun. "I don't need to tell you that tensions between the five federations are at an all-time high. Resources are scarce, as usual, and people are growing more and more restless by the day. Somewhere along the lines, the head honchos decided entertainment be a great way to shut the masses up. Of course, we all know the strategy's been around since the dawn of man. Give them a wheel and let them watch it spin. Well, prisons are getting full, and there's always so much paperwork to get y'all hung. The way it's supposed to go, anyway." A few groans of disbelief were heard amongst the crowd. "Keep your britches on. The shot weren't meant to kill you." The screen flashed towards the word Project Sin, appeared along with the logo of a cartoonishly drawn devil. The best way she could describe it, it would be compared to a lawn gnome who had been painted red and given a bite in. "As you can see from my little friend here, this is a two-pronged strategy. Entertainment for the masses and a means to lean out the system a bit. Save on resources. Of course, wouldn't be fun if there weren't any stakes. A full pardon will be granted to the winners of our little game." The room instantly burst into commotion. "So settle down, settle down. You see, there will be quite a few of you going in, including from other federations. This game ain't a cakewalk. You're going to be facing dangerous creatures along with, well, each other. And I'm not sure which you should be more afraid of. I expect you to do well because each kill you net means a paycheck to me and my facilities. You'll be doing a great service for everyone doing what you love most." Someone towards the back of the room quickly stood up. They never told me anything about killing each other, especially not with those murderers." It was clear she was not of the same sort of crime as Kelsey and her block. "Well, that's just too damn bad, ain't it, Elise? Guess you better figure out how your kleptomania can win you some advantages." "No more outbursts," the warden said, stamping his foot. "Now then, as I was saying, everyone in this room's going to this game. Or they'll be executed right here, now. Don't you think for a second that anyone gives a rat's ass about you or your well-being anymore." With that, the warden shuffled out of the room, along with the fat man in the overcoat, who was still taking notes while casting glances over the room. The guards came back in and separated each of the prisoners, and they were all led to their respective cells. "Better get some sleep, cop killer. You'll need it for your little adventure." The guard laughed while walking away, leading the next batch along. Kelsa's stomach rumbled furiously at her. I understand now. I'll eat the gruel. Unfortunately, it was too late, and she laid curled up, wishing she had at least gotten to eat the bread roll. Morning was signified by lights flashing brightly, and the same guard came to round up the usual crew. They were brought to the cafeteria, and this time they had something a bit more appetizing on the menu. A neat row of breakfast sandwiches were made up, and looked absolutely delectable, she thought. The second her butt touched the seat, she greedily devoured it. Liz emulated the same vigor beside her. It wasn't a moment by the time the last person sat that they were pulled up again and led off to the prison yard. They were met by what she assumed were the other prisoners from the Project Sin presentation. A bus pulled up shortly after. They breathed some fresh air, and they were loaded up. The ride took the better part of 5 hours, and most of them were grinding their teeth together in the necessity to urinate. "Thank God we're finally here," Kelsa exclaimed as they pulled up to a very large white building in the middle of nowhere. After a quick relief break, they were all gathered and led inside. The building was essentially a maze of rooms. Each one they passed, a person was hooked up to what looked like a giant tub of liquid with many wires protruding from different parts of their skin, an especially large one protruding from the spinal column. A nerdy-looking guy with tight spectacles stepped up in a lab coat. "Ladies," he bowed, "welcome to our facilities. When I say your name and give you a number, please proceed to that door." With that, he began calling off names and a number. "Kelsa Lennon, 77. Kelsa made her way to the door, specified, and waited. Eventually, the hall was filled with prisoners. A crew of 2 men and a single woman began going to each door and hooking up the prisoners to the equipment. Screaming was heard every time they started the process, and Kelsa began to dread her turn. "Hey, hey, Kelsa!" A freckled face smiled and waved at her. "You ready?" Liz's face showed pure excitement, and Kelsa couldn't help but laugh at the enthusiasm, especially considering they were probably heading to their deaths. The crew finally made it to her. "Miss Lennon, if you'd follow me," the same nerdy fellow in the lab coat said from before, "you'll need to strip to your undergarments before entering the pool, please." She did so with some embarrassment, but quickly got over it. Looking around, she saw that the tub of liquid was an amber color, reflecting the light in a mesmerizing sort of way. The wire that hung about the room and the complex monitors were very intimidating. "Proceed to step in, Miss Kelsa. There are many after you still." Kelsa's leg began to shake a bit as she stepped forward. She dipped her toe into the liquid, and the feeling of frigid mint immediately gripped her. "Don't worry. It's important to keep your core temperature low during your stay." She plunged in and tensed up as it gripped her. The team wasted no time pinning her arms down. She could feel her heart in her teeth. The nerdy man walked over. "Not to worry. This'll go here." Her body began flailing about wildly as the large core was spiked into the back of her neck. She began to scream until suddenly there was only darkness. Her eyes opened, and immediately she noticed she was laying in some grassy meadow. In wherever the hell she was. No matter where she looked, there was a small heart in the lower left corner of her vision, its color the crimson scarlet she had come to appreciate as of recent. It was peculiar. Everything felt so real. She never had much interest in games, but if they were all like this, she'd scold herself for missing out. Many interesting and odd creatures floated and burrowed about, and it was simply enamoring to be part of it all. "Kelsa!" a familiar voice called out to her. Liz came running from the forest stark naked. Kelsa quickly looked away in embarrassment and thought about herself. Looking down, she saw that she had an outfit she was very fond of, a spotted sundress made by her dear grandmother. "I knew I'd find you first!" With that, she ran over and threw her arms around her. "Liz, don't you think you should find some clothes?" Kelsa choked out after being practically pulled off of her feet. "Actually, I hadn't even considered it." And with that statement, a pair of jeans and a Haori jacket appeared over her. "Ooh, pretty!" she exclaimed, twirling about in the flowy top. It was adorned with some kind of red flower that she didn't recognize, and definitely had the feel of the Nozomi, the Third Federation. It wasn't long after that the cartoony devil appeared floating in front of them. Liz let out a small scream and squeezed Kelsa. "Welcome to Project Sin, 77, Kelsa Lennon, 87, Elizabeth Rhodes." The voice was familiar to that of that nerdy man that had put them in here. "In this world, you will face many challenges, both from the environment and your competitors. It is expected that most of you will die. The winners will be the top 1% of the game. Population currently, there are 3,215,000 players. The game will end when there are 32,150 contestants remaining. Know that this world isn't anything like the ones you left behind. You'll notice the heart in the bottom left corner of your vision. Your first and only hint is that that represents your health if it empties. You will die. Arrangements have been made for the contestants who perish, and with that, the little devil vanished and the screen opened up in front of them. It held a tab system outlining specific parts of the interface. The first one read, Map, nothing but the very spot where Kelsa was currently standing showed. The next tab read, Stats. Kelsa hadn't played games, so most of this looked like nonsense. They read, STR, DEX, CON, ARC, and LCK. She had absolutely no idea what any of it meant. The next tab said, Clan and Alliances, and the last folder said, Creatures. After hitting a large button that said OK at the bottom of the corner, another prompt appeared. Select your companion affinity. Kelsa had no idea what any of these things were, but she had better make a decision soon or else she probably wouldn't survive. Now it's your turn, dear listeners. Please take some time and like one of the three options below or write your own comment. The choice with the most votes wins. Option 1, Abyssal. Option 2, Radiant. Option 3, Earthen. Let's write a story. Let's play a game without the dice.